Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's call Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst, standing by. And, Paul, so out of Green Bay, we hear that Matt LaFleur not happy with his guys as of right now because the offense seems to be sloppy. He's got an injury to the hand of Jimmy Graham. Aaron Rodgers not practicing. The backup's not looking good. Tell me, what point do you get concerned for this offense?
If that's true, the night after the Bears game. You know, or the night of the Bears' game. But that's when I get concerned. But that doesn't mean it's not concerning, like, in the meantime. Like, it would just, I mean, things can change. You know, back tightness can improve. I don't know if it would be, like, if you were, you know, to poll the Packers fan base and say, would you rather Rodgers play in a meaningless preseason game with even minor back tightness or, you know, not have him do that, but then not take any preseason snaps and basically go into week one on the road against what might be the NFL's best defense, having never taken a snap in Matt LaFleur's offense, which is the better option? You know, I don't think either is a good option. And I think if you start to look at the backup quarterback play right now, Bill, I mean, I've been telling you since, well, a while, like even before training camp, that I would need to see something from Kaiser and Will to not think that the Packers don't have their number two QB on the roster right now. And I think everything we've seen so far would indicate Brian Gutekunst, you know, is either hoping and praying that Aaron Rodgers plays a healthy 16 games this season, or he's scouring the market trying to see what else he can come up with. Because if you told me right now that, you know, and I'm not going to give you names of quarterbacks, backups across the league, but if you told me right now that, like, hey, Paul, you're the Packers GM, would you give up a mid-round pick in next year's draft to have a better backup QB? I would say yes. I would do that very quickly because I'm just not one of those people, Bill, that's willing to say, well, Rodgers is out, so the season's lost anyway. The Eagles won the Super Bowl 2 years ago with their backup quarterback.
Right.
That's not a good theory, man. Like, that's where they're at. With their current quarterback situation, if Rodgers is out, it is a lost season, but you don't want that to be true. So I'm definitely at the concerning level right now, but I'm willing to give it another, what, 2.5 weeks until opening night. And then if it looks like crap, then we have a whole other discussion to begin.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. When you hear stories about an offense that's not clicking and Aaron Rodgers at the helm, and, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not sitting here thinking there's problems. I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, you start questioning, okay, did they hire the right guy? Are they teaching it the right way? It's another offense that some of these guys are learning, like DeShone Kizer. This is his, what, third offense in 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, are they doing the right thing? I those are the kind of things that I begin to think about. Now, I'm not, you know, sitting here saying that, you know, Matt LaFleur is incompetent or anything like that. I'm just simply saying that how much longer for a team that's expected to compete is it going to take for the team to compete? You know what I mean?
Well, and I think that is why, or at least a reason why, they amped up the defense the way they did this offseason, Bill, was to that Rodgers is getting older. They're bringing in a new head coach. You know, they're doing a lot of different things from an offensive perspective that, you know, you maybe just can't count on the 2019 Packers offense to be top 10. Can you? I don't think you can, right? Even if Rodgers is healthy. Can you tell me with certainty? Oh, yeah, that's a top 10 offense. I could argue it should be. Like, you know, on paper, if you're drawing this up and putting it into your, you know, putting it into Madden and playing the video game version, like, you told me I could have Rodgers, Bakhtiari, Davante Adams, Aaron Jones, and a pretty darn good offensive line around Bakhtiari. Like, I would take that, man. Like, I would. I think that's a pretty good group. But there's so many variables. Rodgers' age, and more importantly with his age, the injury history. Now you have back tightness. And just the fact that you do have a new head coach who's never been a head coach before, but who's an offensive play caller, and there's just a lot of variables. So I think when you start to say, like, you know, a team that's expected to be good or has expectations internally and externally to be good, not just good, but, you know, really good. Like, you know, not just a playoff team, but a team that wins a playoff game or two or three. Then that's why you build up the defense, so that you don't have to rely as much on the offense. But I wonder, Bill, as we get more and more of missed practices from Rodgers, missed practices from Rodgers, if this is maybe the way that, you know, Brian Gutekunst was trying to figure out, you know, how do I make sure this is a good team with all this uncertainty around the offense? And, you know, if Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Adrian Amos, Rashawn Terry, Darnell Savage, and the rest of those guys pan out, or at least if several of them pan out, then this might just be a defensive-led football team that has a questionable offense, and that maybe that's where we're headed.
Oh, my goodness. Don't say that.
It's possible.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's possible, but oh my goodness, don't say that. Oh God, I can't imagine that. Hey, with the tight end position, Sternberger is still, you know, in concussion protocol. What you saw to Jimmy Graham the other night? Give me your thoughts, because I was disappointed. I mean, he looks slow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's the injury now too, which seems like it's going to be something that's not going to be as serious as maybe what was initially feared or what could have been possible. Bill, I'm not a Jimmy Graham fan. I'm not. You know, I think the veteran experience that he has, the fact that he's making the $10, $11 million per year that he is, sort of gives him, you know, the first leg up in a race for snaps. And we've talked many times in the past years, Bill, about how it's really, really hard as a tight end to come in on your rookie year and contribute. I mean, every time a tight end is drafted in the first round and they have sky-high expectations, they almost never meet them. I mean, Eric Ebron in Detroit being one of the recent examples in the past 5 years. And so with Sternberger, it's like, you know, even had he not missed all this time with an injury, I still wouldn't have thought, yeah, that's your guy this year. I'm gaining more and more on, like, the Tanyan train. Are you starting to get there? Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, I'm getting there, man. I'm getting to the point where I'm like, you know what? Like, let's feature Tanya. What do you think?
He's got to block better. I mean, that's the other thing.
He
I mean, if Tanya doesn't block better, he's not going to find himself on the field as much. But I'm agreeing. I think that Tanya is a guy that, as a pass catcher, has ability. As a blocker to stay, otherwise he becomes predictable. Whenever he's on the field, look for him to catch a pass. You know what I mean?
But didn't you just also describe Jimmy Graham?
Yeah, but Jimmy Graham, when you're a mismatch nightmare, you can come in and say, go ahead and stop me.
Okay, sure.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
When he was in his heyday, that's all he was.
Right.
So he wasn't going to come in and start blocking a bunch of people, but he was also their main guy, so he was on the field more often than not. You know what I mean?
He was. And again, it's not like I realistically think that the depth chart, you know, in 17 days in Chicago week one is going to say one Tanyan, two Graham. Like, it's not, but Jimmy Graham for me at this point, Bill, was, you know, and again, he thinks he's going to have a bounce back season. Aaron Rodgers thinks he's going to have a bounce back season. The Packers could have cut ties with him this offseason. Yes, there would have been some dead money, but they could have done it. They chose not to. They chose to bring him back. They thought last year was just a bad season. I'm in the I need to see it to believe it camp with Jimmy Graham. So, I mean, much more to come, I think, in terms of proving his value and his worth to this team as an $11 million a year tight end.
Talking with Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst. Before I let you go, Paul, I wanted to ask you as well, and I talked to Eric Brancheck about this. Mason Crosby, give me your thoughts on the kicking competition right now.
Well, I think when you have Crosby's track record, you need to be absolute worst. You need to be injured to lose your job, or you need to just be absolutely destroyed, I think, in a one-on-one competition. Now, they wouldn't have had brought in competition for him internally. And, you know, Crosby talked about this for years, though. Like, because there was it 2013 when they brought in Giorgio Tavecchio, and then there was another year in 2014 they brought in competition. And Crosby had great teams throughout his entire career, especially once he did start to have those struggles, and he had that 2-for-9 family night, and he had that one season there going back 5, 6, 7 years that was less than ideal, that you don't need somebody in camp. You don't need another kicker in camp to feel pressure, to feel like you're competing for your job, because several teams throughout the league on an annual basis, the kicker who they had throughout training camp is suddenly not their kicker entering week one. You know, roster cutdowns happen in early September, and you know, new kickers are on new teams, and that's just sort of the way the team's ended it. So I do think, you know, we're to a point, and I know Matt LaFleur talked about it over the weekend, and, you know, and why the some of the practice field goal attempts in practice are 33 yards, as if you can learn anything from that. So I've seen it before, Bill. I've seen the competition come in. I've seen Crosby very, you know, have a very 50-50 battle with that competition and yet still remains the guy. And I think that's just what, you know, a decade of experience, a decade plus of kicking at Lambeau Field, where a lot of people know, can have interesting wind patterns. You know, you do say, by the way, if you cut him, you save $4 million. So you kind of have to also look at it and say, hey, if they'll cut Mike Daniels to save $8 million, you know, do you cut Crosby to save $4 million?
Right.
So there's an aspect of financials to it, but, man, unless Crosby, you know, because he started out the year, he started out training camp injured. I mean, unless it's something that they're worried about medically, I'd be surprised if he was a cut down casualty. But yeah, I just kind of feel like he's the default, and someone has to really beat him, or he has to get hurt to lose it. But who knows, man? The kicking competition across the league is probably one of the more unpredictable, if not the most unpredictable spot, because all of a sudden, you know, GMs just decide that Robbie Gould was old one day. He's old. He's bad. He's got to get rid of him. And then he goes on and has a much better career, and then the Bears find themselves in the situation they're kicking. So I would be cautious, I think, to go with somebody other than Crosby, but, you know, who knows, right?
No doubt. Paul, good stuff. Certainly appreciate it, and we will talk to you soon, okay?
Hey, Bill, Wednesday, I would love to run through the wide receivers one by one and take, you know, me versus you on a percentage chance that guy's on the roster, because I'm starting to think St. Brown and Moore might both not be on it, and I'd love to go back and forth with you on the whole list of names and kind of see where we agree or disagree.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
Okay?
Cool.
Appreciate it, pal.
Right,
there you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes from a wind tunnel, apparently, on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.